to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. Luke chapter 9. You don't have a new word, but I hope it's a word that's going to help you. You know, they say you can't split a log unless you hit it in the same spot. Luke chapter 9, verse 20, starting at verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I want to talk about the job description for discipleship. The job description for discipleship. Not a job description, because to say a job description is to say there's some other descriptions. The job description for discipleship. I've come to realize that many have a resume, but what they need is a job description. They're clear on what they can do, but they have no understanding on what is expected. They know about their skills, but they do not know about their duties. Clear on their talent, but have no concept of their cross. Know what they're good at, but don't know what they're good for. Know what they enjoy, but don't know what they are to do. Too many of us try to make it with God based on our resume and not based on the job description. We want to do what we're good at instead of doing what God wills. We want to do what comes naturally instead of doing what God requires. We want to look at our resume instead of looking at the job description. We want to serve the Lord based on who we are instead of looking at what God expects. We want kingdom work to be tailored, made for our ability, rather than stretch ourselves to fulfill divine requirements. We look at our resume more than we look at the job description. We're clear on what we can do, but we're blind to what God expects. We want to deal with our talent and ignore what God requires. We want to determine our job after we analyze our past. We want our history to determine our position. We think our skills can determine our place. Many have a resume, but what you need is a job description. We let who we are take precedence over whose we are. We let what we think we can do take place over what we're supposed to be doing. We come to God with a resume and ignore the job description. See, the resume is about my talent. The job description is about God's expectation. The resume is about what I can do. The job description is about what God would have me to accomplish. The resume is about my abilities. The job description is about my duties. The resume is my history. The job description is my mission. Many of us have a resume, but what we need is a job description. We are frustrated with life because we don't know what God expects from us. We know what we like to do, but we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. We don't just do wrong because we are wicked. We make mistakes because we don't know. We do poorly on the evaluation because we don't understand godly expectations. We have no awareness of the job description. We show up for work with no knowledge of the job. We seek a position with no understanding of what the work entails. We fight for a title with no ideal of the responsibility. We have no ideal of the job description. That's why we are frustrated as followers and sometimes as Christians. That's why we are fair weather saints and part-time believers. That's why we are quick to jump on board and just as quick to abandon ship. We know what we like to do, but we don't know what is expected. We can't understand why the job does not match up with our resume. We can't understand why what we have to offer the kingdom, if the kingdom is not seeking. We can't understand why our talent cannot secure us a position. We have the resume, but what we lack is the job description. The problem with men is that they have expectations that have nothing to do with the job. You expect from salvation what God never promised, and you expect from the church what religion can't provide. Because you don't know what the job requires, you walking around with the wrong expectation. Because you hung up on a harvest, you can't understand why when you sow a seed, your efforts don't always take root. Because you got saved day before yesterday, now you ready to convert everybody. You're not satisfied with pointing others to Christ. You think your testimony ought to make them choose Jesus. Your problem is you don't have a job description. You expecting flowers, but much of this life is thorn and thistles. Somebody told you every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, but sometimes you will wonder if hearing from heaven is worth catching hell. What you need is a job description. You don't need a resume that lists your talent. You need a job description that tells you your duty. Well, in the word and in the text is a job description. We have from the CEO what the job involves. We have from the personnel director what you have to do if you plan to do the task. We have from the human resources of glory a job description. This is more than a text in the Bible. This is a job description for a disciple. This is more than theological rhetoric. This is divine expectation. This is a job description for a disciple. Now hear me, these words are hard to hear, yet these words are honest and tailored and straightforward. These are not words that thrill, and yet these are words that are true. And I believe that based on the job description, there aren't many applying for a position. I say based on the job description, there aren't many applying for a position. Even in this age of high unemployment, there ain't many applying for the job. Most folks, based on the job description, prefer part-time religion to full-time discipleship. Most folks rather attend church than do the work of the church. Most folks want to be a temp but not a full-time employee. They rather be a consultant than be a disciple. Listen to the HNIC. Help me, Holy Ghost. They don't want to live up to the job description. They rather share some of their talent than give God all their life. Most folks don't want to apply based on the job description. And sometimes in the church, we get so caught up on getting applicants till we forget to be honest about the job. We focus on getting employees and forget to describe the work. So busy taking resumes until we don't pass out the job description. But what we have in the text is a job description for discipleship. This ain't about what you need to know. This is about what you have to do. This word declares that if Jesus is going to be your savior, he has to be your employer. You haven't been redeemed if you haven't been hired. With deliverance comes employment. If Christ is your savior, then Jesus is your employer. This savior who provides salvation offers employment. This same Jesus who said, come unto me and I will give you rest, now says in the text, if you come after me, this is what I expect you to do. The same Jesus who offers salvation offers employment. You can't be unemployed and truly be in the kingdom. You can't be redeemed and have no work. You can't say you have heard from heaven if you're not on heaven's payroll. The call to salvation is a call to employment. This here is a job description for discipleship. This is a hard word, but it's an honest word. It may not be your favorite word, but it's a straightforward word. In the text, there is no sugar coating and there is no pulling punches. Jesus makes it clear and Jesus makes it plain. Now he doesn't speak a word that will please everybody, and yet everyone can share in the opportunity. Luke says he said to them all, the word spoken is not for some to hear and for others to ignore. It's not for a select group or a chosen few. It's not at the exclusion of some and the omission of others. It's not just for the gifted or talented or despised or rejected. It's not just for the morally upright, and it does not exclude the low-down scoundrel. But this word is for everybody, which means anybody. Luke says he said to them all, and Luke says he said, if any man. He's not looking for a particular type, and he's not trying to overlook anybody. He gives a job description, but anybody can do the job. He's clear on what you have to do, but he's just as clear there's enough for everybody to do something. Now, if he says to them all, and if he says any man, that doesn't sound like Jesus is screening applicants. Jesus is hiring everybody. You don't have to be interviewed. You just have to yield to the job description. You don't need a letter of reference. You just need to do like you're told. You don't have to interview. You just have to show up ready to go to work. There's no test to take and no application to fill. There's no drug screening. Somebody ought to help me. And there's no background check. You don't have to prove that you're qualified, and a lack of skills will not disqualify you. But Jesus says to them all, if any man will come after me. This, help me, Holy Ghost, this is for the goose and the gander. This is for the straight and the gay. This is for the judge and the criminal. This is for the preacher and the pimp. This is for the good looking Rachel and hard to look at Leah. This is for lying Delilah, and this is for dumb Samson. This is for anybody, and this is for everybody. He's not taking applications. He'll hire anybody to do kingdom work. This is not tokenism, and this is better than affirmative action. Jesus is hiring anybody, and Jesus is hiring everybody. Now hear me. Jesus is hiring workers who will be employed on earth, but they will be paid kingdom wages. He wants you to do a difficult job, but he wants to bless you with everlasting life. He wants you to know the salary and the benefits that go along with the job. Now hear me, this is more than the opportunity of a lifetime. This is the opportunity of eternal life. This is more than a job that provides medical insurance. This is a position that gives you blessed assurance. This doesn't have a retirement package. When you get through working down here, you don't retire to Florida. You walk around heaven all day long. With this job, you don't get any sick days, because by his stripes, you are healed. Help me, Holy Ghost. Jesus believes that on this job, payday is worth the long hours. What you shall receive is worth what you have to do. Where you're going to is worth what you're going through. In fact, on this job, there is such a thing as profit sharing. Employees are encouraged to buy stock in the company. Not only does Jesus offer you a wage, you can get eternal dividends. Jesus says if you gain the world, you're going to lose your soul. But if you work for the kingdom, you'll have what the world, I wish somebody would help me, you'll have what the world can't offer. Now hear me. Jesus wants you to buy shares in the kingdom by sharing in his suffering on the cross. If you share with him, he'll share with you. If you own him in the world, he'll own you before the Father. See, not only does he want you to follow him, he wants you to be identified with him. He wants you to do more than do a job. He wants you to be like him. It's not enough for you to show up for work. You got to let this job become your life. You don't just work for a paycheck. You work because you love who you're working for. It's not just a benefit package. It's having fellowship with the Almighty. You don't punch in and punch out to do this job. You don't take personal days, sick days, or vacation. You don't just show up for work on Sunday, maybe do some part-time work during the week. You don't call in sick, and you don't walk out on strike, but this is 24/7. This is round the clock. This is every day. This is every moment. This is when you don't want to be bothered. This is when you don't feel like doing a thing. This is when somebody done rub you the wrong way. This is the job description for discipleship. This is the requirements for the job. You don't need a resume. You need to hear the requirements. You don't need a letter of reference. You need to heed the description. This is the job description for discipleship. Number one, the disciple follows Christ. Jesus says, if anyone will come after me. I tell you, some of us in the church, but we're not following Christ. We're following the fad, but we're not walking by faith. Instead of working for the kingdom, we try to start up our own kingdom.com. We're not trying to follow Christ. We're trying to use Christ. We don't follow his teachings. We try to manipulate his words. We come to him with our preconceived notion, with no intention of submitting to his will. But in the job description, you must follow Christ. Number two, you must deny yourself. Someone said the text does not say that the disciple must destroy himself. The text says deny himself. Some of us think to deny is to destroy. We think we can't follow until we get rid of the stuff that causes us to limp. We think we have to make a change before we can make a choice. We think we can't walk with Jesus before we look like we don't need a Jesus. But the master did not say destroy yourself. He said deny yourself. You can still have the fleas of a dog, just don't yield to your doggish ways. You can still wrestle with bad thoughts, just say not my will but thine be done. You can still have a thorn in the flesh, just realize God's grace is more than enough. You don't have to destroy self, you just need to deny self. Help me, Holy Ghost. Or you don't have to lose the taste for sin. Help me, Holy Ghost. Just follow the Savior. It's not destroy, it's deny. Someone says self-denial does not mean self-destruction. It means self-surrender. This is the job description for discipleship, is follow Christ, deny self, and take up a cross. Not only do you have a testimony, you also have a cross. Not only do you have something to shout about, you have something to be about. Not only do you know what you're saved from, you know what you're saved for. You know what the Savior has done for you, and you know what you can do for the Savior. Hear me, you bear a cross while you follow the one who died for you on a cross. You can't follow Christ without a cross, and you can't bear the cross unless you follow. See, if you don't bear a cross, you deny the power of his cross. And if you don't follow while you're carrying a cross, you don't know how to bear the cross. You must follow. Help me, Holy Ghost. You must deny and you must take up your cross. See, every day you and I have to make a choice about if we're going to go to work. We have to decide if we're going to take up a cross, and we have to decide if we're going to stay on the cross. Every day, you got to decide, am I going to go to work? Every day, you got to make a choice. And I'm going to have to, am I going to have personal pleasure? Or am I going to pick up my cross and go to work? Am I going to do my own thing? Or am I going to bear my own cross and go to work? Am I going to go where I want to? Or am I going to go where God sends me and go to work? Every day, I have to make a choice. That's what Jesus said. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And every day I want to know how you're going to go to work. I have to deny self and follow Jesus. I got to get self out of the way and get Jesus in my view. I got to forget about me and think about him. I can't worry about who done me wrong. I got to remember how good God's been to me. I can't get hung up on those who lied behind my back. I got to remember who called my name. Every day, I got to make a choice. Am I going to go to work? See, that's what Jesus did. He decided to go to work. He made a choice. He didn't have to die. He chose to die. He didn't want to die. He was willing to die. They didn't take his life. He volunteered his life. He decided to go to work. He died for me. He died for my sins. He suffered for my shame. He endured the cross for my wickedness. He decided to go to work on a hill called Calvary. He decided to go to work on an old rugged cross, he decided to go to work. Well, I don't know how you feel about it, but I made up my mind this day, I'm going to go to work. I have decided to go to work. I have decided to go with Jesus all the way. I have decided to go to work. I'm going to forget my knees and bear my cross. I'm going to preach his gospel. I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to tell his story. I'm going to be his witness. I'm going to serve in his church. I have decided to go to work. I've come too far to turn back now. He's been too good. I've got to go to work. I'll go with him all the way. I've made up my mind. My heart is fixed. I'm going to go to work. When I praise his name, I'm working. When I lift up holy hands, I'm working. When I give him worship, I'm working. When I pray for my enemy, I'm working. When I love everybody, I'm working. When I close my mouth, when the devil made me mad, I'm working. I decided to go to work. I decided to go to work because I'm going to work till payday come. I'm going to work till payday come, because when payday come, it'll be worth it. When payday come, it'll be worth it. When he says, well done, well done, well done, it'll be worth the hell. It'll be worth the pain. It'll be worth the sickness. It'll be worth the trouble. I'm going to work till payday come. I made up my mind. I'm going to go to work. And let's be honest. Most of you who even like your job, love your job, been blessed by your job, it ain't too many who wake up on a Monday morning and say, whoopee! I'm getting ready to go to work. But hear me. This is why you're not exuberant about going to work. Because you know what to expect when you get there. You know what your job is. You know what your duty is. You know what your responsibility is. You know what's required of you. And that's the problem in the church. We have people who come to the factory, come to the office, and then get an attitude when you expect them to go to work. Nobody told me that I had to love everybody. She don't know who she messing with. Honey, she had to see me back in the day. Well, it ain't about back in the day. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. You got to go to work. On this job, it's not the responsibility of management. It's not the responsibility of management to make you comfortable, to make you happy, to make you glad. All I'm supposed to do is open up the factory and tell you there's a cross down there. And the CEO told me to tell you that if you're going to keep this job, and if you don't get the benefits that this job has to offer, you better go down there, get that chip off your shoulder, get that look off your face, get that attitude out your heart, and you better pick up a cross. And you better not bear it with grumbling and fussing. You better not be looking mad and looking mean, but you better hang on that cross and say, to God be the glory, to God be the honor. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. You got to make up your mind to go to work. And all I'm asking is that God will give me the strength to realize I don't need applications. I just need to be honest about the job description. Hallelujah. May we stand. The doors of the church are now open.